Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are looking at an article that was put out by the Washington Post. It was written by an attorney named Jonathan Turley. It was titled, Shut Up and Play Nice, How the Western World is Limiting Free Speech. Now, why are we looking at this? Because there are so many things that we as Christians need to carefully examine. Because what this attorney points out is that our ability to have free speech is slowly being limited. Whether you realize it or not, it's happening very incrementally. We have not seen the full effects of it here in the United States as of yet, but we are certainly seeing some things that are going into play, which down the road, if they are not corrected, will severely prohibit your ability to preach the gospel. This is why I feel it's important that we be aware of what's going on around us. Be aware of these things. And if you have the ability to do something about it, to do something about it. Now, the argument is often made, well, there's no such mention of this in the New Testament. And you're right, there isn't. They didn't have democracies in the New Testament. They didn't have anything that was even understood to be a republic as we have in the United States in the Bible times. They had monarchies. You didn't have the ability to speak or try to do something about your situation in your culture. We do. We do. And this is why I think it's important that we look at what is going on around us. Because if there's anything else I want to do in my temporal life here, my short life here in this frame, is I want to have the ability to preach the gospel and bring it to people who are lost and dying. And I don't want anything happening that's going to prohibit me from being able to do that. Because the gospel is first and foremost in my life. To see people come to a saving relationship is a high priority for me as a Bible-believing Christian. I would hope it would be for you if you claim to be a Bible-believing Christian. But there are things that are happening in our world right now that, Christian, we cannot be ignorant of. We need to be aware of what's happening so that we can hopefully do something about it. Some things we're not going to be able to do anything about. It's just beyond our control. I do believe God is sovereign. I do believe he's in charge and everything. I don't think it really matters who's president in the big picture of things. But I do feel I have a responsibility, if given that responsibility, to do something if possible. So we're looking at this article, Shut Up and Play Nice, How the Western World is Limiting Free Speech. I want to go back over that second paragraph, Eric. What does he say here?
In the face of the violence that frequently results from anti-religious expression, some world leaders seem to be losing their patience with free speech. After a video called Innocent of Muslims appeared on YouTube and sparked violent protests in several Muslim nations last month, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon warned that, quote, when some people use this freedom of expression to provoke or humiliate others' values and beliefs, then this cannot be protected, end quote.
That's kind of scary because we know that the Muslim community reacted very badly to that video. By the way, that video had been posted since July 2nd. Nobody even really knew it was there until September 11th, and it got a lot of publicity because of the Obama administration. And that controversy is still going on to this day. But nonetheless, here's the problem. Okay, so the video was cheesy. There's no doubt about it. It was cheesy. It was done very, very badly and things. But I noticed there was one question that I'd never heard journalists ever ask. And the one question that I never heard any journalist even try to probe, or the administration try to probe, and that was this. What was inaccurate in that trailer? What was inaccurate in that? Because if it was really spewing outright lies, I never heard anyone in the Muslim community ever give a list. They were offended by the film at large, but I never heard them actually say, well, this is wrong, and this is wrong. And from what I understand, the film, as cheesy it was, was a lot of quotations from Muhammad himself and a lot of the behavior that Muhammad was actually known for, and historians would actually verify.
Well, a satire or parody would seem like it fits within free speech. You might not like the exact, it might have been done in poor taste, but to say that it's something that should be illegal or that people should kill another person for, I think is very wrong. Saturday Night Live does this all the time. It takes situations that are real situations, will exaggerate those things, those people, and make them look bad. And we all understand, okay, they're poking fun at the president or a candidate or whatever the situation is, and that's just an exaggerated way to get their point across. That's how I saw that video, as badly as it was done. I saw it more as a parody that was, you know, supposed to show who Muhammad really was.
Well, Aaron asked a good question. He said, if the trailer was actually done more as a documentary and was not meant to incite any type of laughter or people looking strangely at Islam, but merely, you know, this is what Muhammad did, this is what he did, this is what he said, this is what he said, and it was done in a documentary format, and the Muslim community reacted to it in the way they did, most people would probably say, well, wait a minute, they need to grow up. And I think that's a problem with Islam. Even though it's been around since the 7th century, it's failed to grow up when it comes to criticism. Whereas I think as Christians, our religion is more mature. I don't think the Mormon church has matured in that fashion in many areas, because they still gripe and moan when anybody ever says anything negative about them. I think they need to grow up as well. As far as Christianity is concerned, we've been barraged by this kind of stuff for hundreds of years. We're kind of used to it. That's why we may show an outrage, for instance, with, you know, paintings from artists that depict, you know, Jesus in a bad way. But, you know, for myself, I look at it, I understand the sinfulness of man, I look at it, I shrug, and I go, eh, big deal. Okay, I should expect this. Jesus said it was going to happen.
Right.
So I expect this kind of stuff to happen. But to turn violent over it. And this is what's causing a lot of this change in how much free speech should a person have, because people are reacting violently. Well, who is really doing the worst thing? The person who may not like a certain belief system and portrays their thoughts in maybe a bad way or a negative way, or the person who reacts with violence and kills people because of it. I would think most of the time in a rational society, the person who is inciting the violence over some person's ability to speak freely should be harshly criticized and condemned, not the person who's actually doing the speaking.
Let me move on here. And he writes, it appears that the one thing modern society can no longer tolerate is intolerance.
Mm-hmm.
As Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard put it in a recent speech before the United Nations, quote, our tolerance must never extend to tolerating religious hatred.
Well, see, there's the problem. Yeah. How do we define religious hatred?
Who gets to make that decision?
It's right. And I think as Christians, we need to think about this, because that word is being thrown around in our culture continually. And usually when you ask somebody, well, what is it that you see is hateful? What it usually boils down to is the person disagrees with me.
Right.
We've seen that. We go out on the streets and we talk to Mormons, and we have had many Mormons say that we are hateful. But yet when we ask, what exactly did we say or behave, how did we behave that gave you that conclusion? And it's merely, they didn't like what we had to say. I try very hard not to invite the charge of hatred. So I take that charge very seriously, because I am not going out there looking to pick a fight. I'm trying to spread a message. I'm trying to inform.
Well, if your belief that you're supposed to tell other people about your good news is considered hateful, and they consider that to be hateful, if it goes the other way, I'm going to try to switch this. Isn't it hateful for them to be against my religion?
You would think so.
And so it goes both ways.
I mean, when Joseph Smith says that he was told that all the churches were wrong and that our creeds were an abomination, our professors are corrupt.
Why are they intolerant, the Mormon people? I mean, so we could play that same game.
Well, the Mormon would argue, but that's God, Eric. See, yeah. God said that. And I've heard the Mormons say that. And I go, wait a minute. That's the whole controversy. I don't believe it was God. I believe that came from the mouth of Joseph Smith himself. So if we're going to play this game that when you say anything derogatory against what I believe, that automatically makes you a hater, then Joseph Smith was a hater.
And you
but
only,
I don't believe that.
And you only have Joseph Smith's word on that, too. Nobody else heard that
no
or
witnesses,
saw that.
No witnesses whatsoever. Very quickly, we have a couple minutes left, where it says a willingness to confine free speech. That's an important
paragraph.
Yeah,
willingness to confine free speech in the name of social pluralism can be seen at various levels of authority and government. In February, for instance, Pennsylvania Judge Mark Martin heard a case in which a Muslim man was charged with attacking an atheist marching in a Halloween parade with a zombie Muhammad. Martin castigated not the defendant, but the victim, Ernie Pierce, lecturing him that, quote, our forefathers intended to use the First Amendment so we can speak with our mind, not to piss off other people and cultures, which is what you did. This is a judge that said this, Bill.
I know whatever law school this judge went to, folks, if you're wanting to practice law, don't go to that school, because this judge misses the real point of what the First Amendment is about. It is there to protect free speech.
And that's what Turley says. He says, of course, mm-hmm. free speech is often precisely about pissing off other people, challenging social taboos or political values. He gets it. Turley
exactly.
understands what you're talking about.
Turley does get it. And that's why I think this article is so important that Christians need to at least give it a good read. We need to be talking about this because our future to preach the gospel depends on what is happening in our culture on this issue.
And you were talking to me off air about the idea of our original forefathers, the Constitution that they put together. They had the ingenious idea of making free speech free, knowing that free speech is going to sometimes step on people's toes.
Well, they understood because they had actually practiced that with the Declaration of Independence. They had voiced their disapproval of what King George III was doing with the colonies and how they were being mistreated. So they exercised that ability to voice their disapproval. Do you think King George liked it?
No, he didn't.
Not at all. Do you think the Parliament liked it? No, of course they didn't.
They wanted to make sure future generations had that same opportunity that they felt that they needed to have as well.
They understood that discussing controversial issues was essential to a free society.
Amen.
And to not have that right infringed upon. This is something we want to continue, and we're going to talk about this some more.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. Looking for a book on Mormonism? The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City carries the largest selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles such as Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, and Mormonism 101. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is also a great place to get your questions answered. Open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located directly across from the Spring Mobile Ballpark at 1358 South and West Temple.